great oldies. WROW Albany, W263 CG Colony, WENU, W245 DA, South Glens Falls. From the Reno Automotive Studios,
this is
Magic 590 and 100.5. From the Price Chopper Market 32 Weather Center.
Good morning. It's 8 o'clock, and from Magic 100.5 and AM 590, here's your CBS 6 Weather Authority forecast for today. A mix of sun, increasing clouds, breezy and warm, maybe an isolated shower. High today at 84. Tonight, cool overnight, patchy fog, low at 58. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, very warm, not too humid, high tomorrow, 85. On Monday, a mix of clouds and sun, hot and muggy, scattered thunderstorm possible, the high at 88. Ride to work weekday mornings with Ben Patton and the Magic in the Morning Show on the Capital Region's home for good times and great oldies, Magic 100.5 and AM 590.
Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jane Marie. Jane Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every single weekend talking to you, about estate planning and elder law, wills, trusts, powers of attorney, Medicaid applications, all that really, really fun stuff, John. Isn't that fun?
It's always fun.
You know, it kind of is fun. It's a call-in show, and you can reach us at 518-476-5900 if you want to call us in one of our four offices in Albany, Clifton Park, Saratoga Springs, and Kingston. Got it. You can call us at 518-465-7581. Jane Marie, there's not one cloud in that sky out there today.
It's a beautiful...
Amazing.
Beautiful day.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
John, you did great.
Yeah, like it was my...
Well, it was your weather. Doesn't your weather report control the whole thing?
You would think so, yes, but no.
Well, I blame you whenever it's raining.
We're only the messenger. I mean, you can't mess around with Mother Nature. You know, she's the one that makes the rules.
So I listened to the show last week. Jamer, you and Phil were on. You guys did a great job. Yeah. I was at the edge of my seat playing the age-old game to probate or not to probate. That was quite wonderful. You did a great job as a contestant.
Thank you.
That's why you're back this week, I assume, because
right.
You won.
I won, yes.
There you go.
For the second week in a row.
Yeah. Our defending champion.
Yes.
So some sad news out there, guys, right?
One of our last
crooners has passed.
Yeah, yeah, the end of an era, really is.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. He was
96? 96, yeah, Tony Bennett, 96 mm-hmm. years old.
So, wow. I was doing a little deep dive on him, and first of all, he stopped performing a couple years ago because his publicist announced that he had been diagnosed with dementia, with Alzheimer's.
That's correct, yeah.
And it got to the point where... apparently, he would, you know, do a show and forget that he did the show.
Oh, boy.
Right,
but he would
right.
still have the long-term memory and could still sing.
And did the songs flawlessly. And
yep.
At the end, with the help of Lady Gaga, they performed again live. I think it was at Radio City Music Hall for the last time. They did two shows in, I think it was 2021.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So, you know, amazing.
What a career.
Amazing career, yeah.
So he served in World War II.
Yes, he did.
That's right.
Towards the tail end, he was deployed in Germany. And this blew my mind. His mother was born in the year 1899.
Really?
That's how old Tony Bennett was, and what
right.
a long life.
That's
it's
right.
quite amazing. His mother
yes.
was born in two centuries ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, he almost made 100, so that's
he
true.
Did. Yeah. Yeah. He was 2 weeks away from his 97th birthday, so...
And
amazing.
For a lot of people, you know, myself included, I remember Tony Bennett becoming popular again when I was in my, like, 20s, let's say.
Yeah.
Yes.
And he kind of came back, but he mm-hmm. had, you know, decades and decades and decades of career way, way, way before me.
Sure.
And then I think there was a little bit of a lull, and then
yep.
he came
yep.
back.
And that MTV...
The Duets album, right?
Thing came out in the 80s, and he had a big resurgence and has been there ever since.
Yeah.
You know, been on top of mind and a favorite entertainer of, you know, millions, young and old.
Yeah.
So, great. Incredible. Incredible man. We're going to miss him, and we all loved him. No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, from our standpoint, John, well, it's nice to talk about him, but we always wait till for the other shoe to drop, right? Yeah, so what was that plan? Is he going to be in the tabloids now because someone's upset
about
something?
Well, we hope not, yeah.
I hope he did a good estate plan and he had good lawyers. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it seemed, from everything you read, it seems like he had a good amount of people taking care of him and, and looking after him. We don't really know.
Well, not yet, we don't. And we will know eventually. And I have to think that the fact that he had been diagnosed with something wasn't an all-of-a-sudden death.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Perhaps helped the planning process, because whenever we're dealing with a dementia fact pattern, the key is planning, even if it's planning right then and there and you didn't do have something way before. Aretha Franklin is a different version of this
tale. Sure, yeah.
She's the version of not planning too well, right?
Well, since some of our listeners who listen every week may recall, we talked about her estate. Aretha Franklin died about 6 years ago at this point. I can't believe it. She died of pancreatic cancer.
Mm-hmm.
She did not have a will until they found two wills in her home. One was in like a safe kind of deal filing cabinet. The other one was in her couch. And the two documents were 4 years apart. And I can't even say the word will when referring to the second document. They found it in her couch. It was a handwritten note. I assume she kind of signed it, but there were no witnesses to it or nothing. Mm-hmm. And a jury in Pontiac, Michigan, decided that the 2014 note found in her couch, signed by her, was in fact her last will and testament.
Okay, but it took the court to legalize it, right? It
took 5 years.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I mean, there were no witnesses. Mm-hmm. She scribbled a note and put it in the couch.
Now, you know, the fight was between her sons. She had a bunch of sons, and two of them were going to be favored a little more in the more recent, quote-unquote, will. One of the sons who was going to be hurt by it, one of his quotes was that his mother typically would get important documents done conventionally and legally and with the assistance from an attorney. But in 2014, I guess she zagged from that and scribbled a note. And
Well, we're not telling our clients to scribble notes and
stick it in couch cushions,
are we? Right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, we're telling you what not to do.
And she may, in fact, have changed her mind about things. And, you know, the big change was her house went to these two kids.
Sure.
But we want our clients to come on in. Let's do it the formal way. Let's do a new will to reflect your new wishes.
That's right. Get it witnessed properly and done.
The other thing, guys, that the 2014 will did is it removed the requirement that two of the boys go and take business classes, which we talked about before, which we thought was pretty good. So I'd like to think that was the reason why they decided to fight it. But
that is one of my favorite provisions. I think I'm going to have to keep that in my back pocket and use it.
Why not? I think it makes a lot of sense, actually, especially when there's a lot of money. Make sure people can handle it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Jamie, I wanted to talk about, you know, I looked at our calendar specifically. Mm-hmm. I looked at my previous week, and I was just the range of what we do blows my mind sometimes, because a lot of times we are thought of as doing long-term care planning and elder law and trusts, because nursing homes and so on.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I had a young family. I know you have this all the time. Young families, they're just having their first kid, by the way. Congratulations to
Phil. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Everyone's happy and healthy, John.
Yes, that's great.
Hopefully, Phil will share the good news himself next week or 2 weeks from now.
Fantastic.
A young family, Jamie, has a lot of planning needs, but those needs are totally different than, let's say, a mixed family, right? Where I got a second marriage, kids from previous relationships, which is completely different than someone who's our more conventional elder law plan, which is completely different than someone who's got, you know, 20 rental properties and is just looking for old school protection of things. And we kind of do everything in between.
Yeah, I think every day when we go in, it's we're going to hear different stories that day, you know, from different clients. And that's what makes it interesting, is hearing all these different situations, helping people figure out what to do. It's never the same.
Well, we have about 20 minutes here, Jamie, and I thought maybe we just lightly touch on maybe those four scenarios. So a young, you know, you walk into conference room C in Albany and you see right. a young couple and you see a little stroller perhaps in the room mm-hmm. and they say, well, we were told we just got life insurance and now we're here.
That's right. What do we do now?
What kind of planning are you recommending to a young couple?
So I am recommending a will, not over a trust. Well, mainly because they need to think of guardians and trustees for their children. You know, so that's really what we spend a lot of time talking about is how would they want their children taken care of, right?
Right.
Who are they going to live with? How is the money going to be spent on them? Are we saving some money for the kids for when they're older and they're more mature and able to handle it?
Yeah. So let me piece this apart with you here. So like a guardian. Well, mm-hmm. what do you mean? It's going to be my parents, right? Or is it going to be your parents? Is it going to be my mm-hmm. brother because my parents are older? Mm-hmm. So without you naming a guardian in something like a will, there is a certain family tree element to who has standing to be
right.
guardian and who has kind of priority to be guardian.
Right.
And it may be that when, you know, date night goes wrong for a young couple, mm-hmm. It's, you know, both sets of grandma and grandpas think they are the right guardian.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then it's up to the court to decide. And everyone wants to be able to make that choice for their children.
Right.
So, and it may not be your parents if they're older. You have to think about that.
Yeah.
That they may not be able to handle a little child running around. You have one still running around
yeah.
young, right? Yeah.
He launches himself from different pieces of furniture at this point. He's four. So.
Right. But imagine your mom and dad, you know, handling that.
Yeah. No, I can't. At the same time, okay, it's going to be siblings.
Right.
Sure, that sounds great. Well, where do said siblings live?
Right.
Are we moving the kids from upstate New York to California or to mm-hmm. Pennsylvania? What are we doing with these kids?
Right.
Are we uprooting them? They're in their junior year of high school
mm-hmm.
because that's when the bad news happened.
Right.
And sometimes it's a friend that you want. And the key is it's what you want. And mm-hmm. we don't know what you want unless your will say so. And there'll be a lot of deference given to who you're picking.
Right. Oftentimes, yeah, it can be a friend. If a friend lives nearby and that would keep the child with their friends in the same school district,
yeah.
Hey, that works also. But you get to pick who it is, you know, so only if you do it in a will. Right?
I tend to personally, I mean, guardians are obviously very important for little kids. I almost pass that because to me, guardians are just a part of the picture. Guardianship ends at age 18, because theoretically someone at 18 is an adult. But we know mm-hmm. that doesn't mean they can handle lots of money.
Yeah, that's right.
And when there's life insurance, John, and there's yeah. retirement accounts, there's the proceeds from the sale of a house, on and on and on, it might be a lot of money. And then not only that, if you know, God forbid something happened to my wife and my son's four,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, if I say they're going to get money at 18, mm-hmm. whatever he was supposed to get now at four, theoretically is going to triple in value just
right.
by being put in the market. That's what happens over time. So it might be a lot of money.
Right.
And to me, it's the rules on the money. It's the trust part.
Yes.
It's having a will that has trust provisions in it about what they get at 22 or 25 or 30 or whatever. You know, the ages and percentages are up to the client, obviously.
Right.
And then putting in place a really smart person, a trustee who is going to be able to say, okay, these are the needs of this kid, or you know what, I want to pay for college for my nephew,
mm-hmm.
but not their fifth junior year. They get one junior year. I see this game that they're playing, and I want to motivate them to be
That's
a good
right.
human and learn mm-hmm. and this and that and have a career. So you need someone, and our language in our wills or our trusts always will give a lot of discretion to that trustee, J. Marie, to give money earlier if deserving or hold money longer if not deserving.
Right. The trustee has a lot of discretion, and I tell the client that, you know, they're using their judgment just like you would if you were still here.
Right.
So you need to pick someone who has the same values as you. So you need to know, you know, they need to know how you would want the kid to get the money. So sometimes the guardian is going to be someone younger and more active to take care of the kids, But if you're looking at the trustee, that could be an older relative who has more experience managing money.
I agree. And I think the moral of the story, just to put a wrap this up here, is if you have young kids, you have to have a will. It's not a choice. Mm-hmm. You have to have a will. Right. If you have grandkids, you have to call your kids. I don't care what state they live in. Make sure they have these basic documents in place. We'll be right back with the second half of the Herzog Law Firm's Estate and Medicaid Planning Show right after this.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
And we're back. Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikian.
And I'm Jane Marie Schaefer. And we were just talking about, you know, how important it is to have a will if you have young children, you know, to appoint guardians. Mm-hmm. And there's another type of family that we really, you know, meet all the time. Second marriages are very common these days.
I mean, all the time.
All the time, right? And you and I are still married to our first spouses. But
we are.
We're probably against the norm, right?
Yeah, well, you know, I guess I don't know how to respond to that, John. I guess there's still
a
lot of life left.
But it's a goal we all strive for. I mean,
well, yeah, the issue comes up all the time, though, and sometimes the second relationship is the relationship.
Yeah, and sometimes you find out early on and, you know, get divorced and move on.
Yeah, it happens way too often, but true.
The planning side of it, though, becomes really interesting because for that young family, for that first, quote-unquote, first marriage family there, their will, Jamie, you know, we didn't even talk about it. It wasn't worth talking about. It's everything to spouse.
Right.
And then everything to kids.
Right.
Easy.
Yes.
When it's that second relationship, if I do everything to spouse, who I love dearly.
Right.
Well, factually, her kids are different than my kids.
That's right.
If I use, you know, terms that we normally use legally, you know, like the word issue, which means our bloodline. Well, my bloodline's different than hers.
Right.
And we also know, and we just talked about it when we were talking about Aretha Franklin, you can change your will whenever you want to. You could amend your trust whenever you want to.
But try not to leave a note under the couch.
Please don't.
Yes, yes. Thanks for that message.
If you leave a note in the couch, the note should say, call the law firm because they have the actual will. It should not. Yeah.
Right.
So if I say everything to spouse, they may not feel great about my kids after my passing. They may choose to not leave things to my kids.
Right, they may favor their own kids.
They may put beneficiaries on their assets, so it goes to their kids. Right? If you want to guarantee that your kids are getting money in that second relationship, you got to do a little more work than just a quote-unquote I love you will, where everything goes to the spouse and then your kids and my kids, because we agree right now.
Mm-hmm.
Problem is, if I die tomorrow, there's a whole other lifetime for that second spouse to get remarried again, to have other relationships again, to fall out of favor with my children.
That's right. So in that situation, I would talk to the client about doing a trust. You know, so if you leave assets to your spouse, second spouse in a trust, then you could determine who gets the money after you die, right? So you could put it in a trust for that second spouse's lifetime. Mm-hmm. And then when that second spouse dies, you can make sure it goes to your children, back to your kids.
John, you see what happens here? Yeah. We're talking an innocent conversation about theoretical second marriages, and I get a text.
Oh, you do? Oh.
From my wife.
From Isabel? Oh, no.
Better remain married to your first spouse, ! So let's move on to the next category, Jamie, before I get in trouble here, please.
All right. No more scenarios.
Oh, no more scenarios like that.
Second spouses for Dave. Yeah. Sorry, Dave.
We are sorry.
You know, she didn't say anything about what happens if I die tomorrow. She was just about the remarrying part, which is interesting to me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well.
Sorry, Isabel. Well, so the next, you know, type of client, and this is maybe the one we see the most, Jamie, is more of an elder law fact pattern. Things may be good for the moment, but, you know, ages start with sixes or sevens or eights. And we're told by someone, our daughter called us and said, hey, you really need to get this in order. The idea is now maybe protecting assets more than it is who gets our assets. Although there's still obviously estate planning pieces to it. So for that couple that comes in, first marriage, second marriage, third marriage, whatever, right? They come in and they say, we're here because we want to protect our assets. That's a totally different conversation with you.
Yes, then we're talking about trust, definitely. So if they want to protect their assets, you know, first we're going to talk about the 5-year look back period. That's where I go. And I kind of want to know how old they are and what their health is. I mean, it doesn't mean I'm not going to do the trust, but right. It's just important to talk about that. Last night, my last appointment of the day, I was talking about it with my client and I said, oh, I think it's a little soon yet. And she's like, I'm 63. I said, I thought you were in your 50s.
Wow.
And she's like, you're my favorite lawyer. So, so because 63 is different than, you know, 53, I may not recommend a trust. I mean, it wouldn't hurt. But at 63, I'm definitely recommending a trust.
Yeah, I mean, there's obviously a legal fee component to it. So the answer is always a trust. However, maybe you wait on it because you're doing well and you're young.
Right. Or maybe you start with the revocable trust in your 50s and, you know, you could change it later on.
And by the way, you know, being in your 60s does not mean you're old or your 70s.
Not at all.
From it. However, we also need to realize not everyone is, you know, a 96-year-old celebrity singer who dies. Sometimes it's a 56-year-old or a 65-year-old person who gets diagnosed with dementia.
Right.
For example, Bruce Willis is not 70 years old.
No, he's a little bit younger than me, so he's 67?
He might
68,
be
68, something like that.
I didn't even think he'd be that
maybe
much.
He's not
but
that
it's possible.
I'll have to look it up. Yeah,
but the point is that he's young. The bad things happen at different ages, and we just don't know. And if there's a vehicle like the trust we always talk about, where we can start these clocks on look back periods and work to protect our assets while avoiding probate.
68.
Yeah. Get out of here.
68. Yeah.
Huh. Well, 68 is not what 68 used to be. Let's just put it that
true.
Way.
No.
It blows
that's
my
true.
Mind.
68 is more like 48 in a lot of cases.
I mean, Harrison Ford, I'm afraid to know how old he is. I would assume he's 70.
He's probably the same. And he just did a new movie.
Yeah, and he's still doing his own stunts, too. He's a maniac. But Harrison Ford, he's 75, I think, at least. Now you got me looking him up here. Let's find out.
That's amazing.
75, that would be crazy.
But if there's a way to protect while avoiding probate and leaving money to the right people the right way, all this, and most importantly, and we hammer this every single time, while you still control everything, well, then do it. And you do it at 64, or you do it at 69.
Harrison Ford is 81.
No, he's not.
No.
81 years old.
That's Wikipedia I have up here on our computer
Wikipedia
screen.
Wikipedia is usually
Harrison
right.
Ford, 81.
Oh, my God. I think I'm going to go throw myself off
and
a cliff.
And he just got done doing that Indiana Jones. I mean, he's in great shape. He looks great, you know, for 81.
Wow.
I hope I look
that good. It's amazing what millions and millions of dollars does for your complexion.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Good point.
Well, so Jamie, that normal fact pattern. Now, you've said something really interesting. You said, I want to know how they're doing. And and this becomes really important, and I'd like to bring up a fact pattern I just dealt with. So we, a number of years ago, about a year and a half ago maybe, I met with a client. He and his wife wasn't doing well. She was in rehab at the time, but it looked like she was going to need to be in a nursing home. And over the last year, we've been in the process of getting her qualified for Medicaid, and we use the technique where we do something called a spousal refusal. We move things to him, whatever. I saw she's doing great. As great as can be. I saw husband and his daughter yesterday because it's time for him to do a trust in his name with these assets to protect them, to avoid probate. If, God forbid, he passes, we want things to go to his daughter, not his wife, in the nursing home.
Right.
Makes sense. But also, he's no spring chicken, right? The plan is to protect for him. But we couldn't do it earlier. We couldn't do it before the application for Medicaid, right? Or while it was pending, because that's part of the look back. That's a transfer.
Mm-hmm.
So we waited for the Medicaid to be approved for wife, and now we're doing the trust. So the not every client's made the same. Not every 78-year-old, not every 81-year-old, like Harrison Ford, is the same. There are some 81-year-olds who are not doing great.
Right.
And then there are some that go to movie premieres for Indiana Jones 5. It's amazing.
That is crazy. I can't believe that. I'm still blown away by that, 81.
81.
But that just proves the point that 81 is not what 81 used to be.
That's right.
So at 81, like you just said, you could have 5 more years and set up a trust and still be going good.
We're living longer.
We could probably have a show where we just guess people's ages and we're way young.
That
would be a fun trip.
That would be kind of fun, yeah.
Like the name that comes to mind as an example is like Christie Brinkley, right?
Yes.
She might be 70 years old for all I know.
Probably.
I don't know,
and she
but
probably
she still looks
like
very
she's
young.
50.
Because Billy Joel is in his 70s, so.
Yeah.
Billy
Joel's starting to look rough, but.
He is.
John, be nice.
That's the lifestyle.
Come on, John.
He probably likes looking that way.
Jeez.
So, yeah, you know.
So, a couple minutes here. There's one other version of this, which is where we're not worried about long-term care. We're going to private pay it. We have the finances to deal with it. The last thing on our mind is a Medicaid asset protection trust, but we're actually worried about protecting assets. We're worried about our businesses, our real estate, what's going to happen to all these different things. And that kind of plan is almost even more important, Jamie, because we enter the world of possible estate taxes as well. And that tends to confuse the whole situation.
Yeah, that's right. So if you're a business owner, you have a lot of different considerations. You know, a trust is still important for probate avoidance because you don't want any interruption of that business.
Right.
You don't want payroll to not happen because no one has the authority to access your bank account, right? So you need to really do succession planning for your business and as well as your estate planning.
Who's going to run the business?
Right.
Your son, your daughter, your wife.
And it changes over time.
And what if nobody wants to run it?
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, well then, great.
Yeah.
My business was valuable while I was alive.
Yeah.
Is it still valuable when I'm dead? How do we create liquidity so that there's a buyout?
You need someone who is going to sell it for the most value, so you need someone who knows the business.
You might need to have more life insurance than you'd think, you know, like something called a key man policy to make sure that the business owns it, and now there's going to be an influx of money. If we're dealing with estate taxes, well, there's a big difference between New York state estate taxes and Florida state estate taxes, because there is no estate tax in Florida. So where is our clients going to be living down the road? Are they certain of it?
Right.
How does that affect the plan? And that kind of fact pattern, Jamie, it gets this other part of our brains working that we don't get to work every single day.
Right.
Because they're rather unique fact patterns. But it just, you know, from that kind of fact pattern to, we just had our first kid and we're in our mid-20s, which blows my mind when someone says that they're 25 years old. I can't, my brain doesn't compute the fact that I was an adult when they were born.
I know.
But everything in between, that's what we do. And it could be from one appointment to the next, you're seeing every single stage of life. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It's really great. Again, it's back to the stories, meeting the families, learning what the families need. That's what makes it interesting every day.
And sometimes we see the future and they don't.
Yes.
And,
trust
and
me. I've seen this before. You have to kind of guide them through.
Well, because they say, look at Harrison Ford. He's 81. He looks great. What do I have to worry about it?
Yeah, I
know. But then again, everyone's health is different. You don't know.
You never know. The only thing I know is that it's gorgeous outside, and I can't wait to go outside today. It's going to be a good one. No more rain for a couple days, right, John?
That's right. Yep, today and tomorrow, beautiful days. Get out there.
And you guarantee it.
Enjoy it, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that worked out.
Have a great weekend.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.